Well, hello there. Welcome to the story of us, from cosmic dawn to the depths of being. I'm your host, Jeff Ellison, and today I've got something very special for you indeed. Today's podcast features a person that sits beside the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh, astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, and world-renowned author Yuval Harari atop the Mount Rushmore of the Story of Us project. It's not often that a podcaster gets to sit down and spend some time spilling the tea with one of their greatest influences. I'm very blessed to be able to do this today. It's like the Martin Luther King Jr. and Gandhi sharing notes. It's really that awesome. I'm joined today by one of the most captivating young voices of Generation Z, world traveler, author of the inspiring online journal Pieces of P, and my treasure, Miss Peyton Marie Ellison. If you aren't one of the thousands of people who have had the opportunity to spend some time with Peyton, I'm honored to introduce you to her today. Peyton's a 21-year-old student at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, where she's studying almost everything. Next year, she's going to graduate with majors in international business with an emphasis in Spanish and journalism digital media. She's also found time to add a graphic design minor, join a sorority, intern with the athletics department, build a huge family of amazing friends from all over the country, and pretty much stay active in all things campus life related. She grew up in Kentucky. She used to be a big University of Kentucky Wildcats fan, but she broke her heart, and she's switching her wardrobe from blue to orange. Regardless, Peyton's a remarkable young woman. She's fluent in Spanish, an amazing cook, and an amazing baker. Her chocolate chip cookies will rock your world. She's a foreign travel advisor, a writer, a photographer, and really a lover of life. She's also my daughter and someone that makes everyone around her, including me, a better person. So let's set the stage for today's episode. Peyton has just returned home to Kentucky from a three-month marketing internship in Manhattan. We've wrapped up a delicious meal. She's agreed to sit down and preach a little gospel to us. I hope she'll be a regular on our show. And it won't surprise me if she finds herself starting her own podcast someday. I'm putting you on notice, Mel Robbins. Look out. This girl's going to give you a run for the money. And if you're a 20-something out there listening, I encourage you to check out Pieces of P, her online journal and blog. Follow her on all her socials and reach out to be her friend. She knows how you feel. And she's wonderful at putting your feelings into words, while also offering some great advice on how to use your words to capture memories and emotions that you'll want to revisit later in life. On today's episode, we'll cover some ground, chatting about topics like loving yourself and having grace with yourself and being okay crying in public. We'll learn about her journey through self-confidence and body image struggles. We'll talk through pivotal moments in her life that are shifting her perspective. We'll dive into the differences between loneliness and solitude. And also, we'll talk a little bit about the power of manifesting your dreams, knowing what you want, shooting for the moon, and not just letting fate take over your life. By using some of her favorite quotes, Peyton reminds us that there's a reason and a season or a lesson to go with anything. She reminds us that you absolutely get what you give to others, and that happiness isn't the absence of problems, but the ability to deal with them. So, sit back and join us around the kitchen table. And if you happen to be in human resources at Condé Nast Magazine or CondéNastTraveler.com, shoot me an email and I'll forward you Peyton's resume. What are you waiting on? You need this woman on your team. Let's kick it off. Well, hello, daughter.
Hi, Dad.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, thanks for saying yes when I asked you to be on the podcast.
Absolutely. I feel like I've been here since the beginning that you first were talking about starting this.
So. I know, right? You really were my biggest influence and a huge inspiration on starting The Story of Us. I saw what you did with your Pieces of Pee blog and was a little bit jealous. You know, it was a creative outlet for you, and man, you just, each post gets better and better.
Thank you.
Now, no pressure.
Okay.
For my 11 dedicated listeners, this is the most anticipated podcast since Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift dropped theirs on New Heights.
Wow. So within the last 12 hours, this is the newest, this is the top of the charts.
You might have a little something to live up to.
All right. The bar is set high, but I'm feeling ready.
Well, and I'm really excited about this. I feel like this is going to be one of maybe many podcasts that we do together. I think you're a natural for The Story of Us.
Thank you.
Huge influence on what we've done. And so there's a lot of listeners out there that probably through the intro know you're my daughter, but they don't know your story. And I think your story is cool because it's really just in its prologue.
Right.
I think in many ways you're getting ready to put pen to paper and start chapter one. Can't wait to see what that looks like.
You and me both.
So why don't you just kick us off a little bit, and we don't have to dive deep here because I know there's a lot of topics that we want to cover today.
Oh, for sure.
You know, tell us a little bit about kind of where you're from and what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, I am 21 years old. I was born in Louisville, Kentucky. I have these horrible, awful parents. They're the absolute worst. Seriously.
Right.
Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, I had the best childhood ever. I grew up with one older brother, Brady, and we always grew up with tons of dogs. Scout we have with us, and we had Bella and Dodger. And I grew up playing sports, and not only just being the younger sister, that taught me lessons that I could talk about for years and years on end about grit and learning from his mistakes and trial and error through that. And also, I grew up playing sports, and that taught me discipline and how to be on a team. And simultaneously, it taught me a lot about myself as a person while also how to interact with other people. So I think being a younger sister and playing sports was a big part of my upbringing, and that made me the person I am today. But I went to Sacred Heart Academy, which I absolutely loved, and I'm about to go into my senior year of college at the University of Tennessee.
That's so gross.
That's so disgusting. But I am really excited, and I can't believe it all went by so fast, but it's freaking me out that I'm about to go into one more year of school.
You and me both. I mean, I'm
scared.
You know, I love these time hop pictures or like, you know, memories that you get. And I think many times you think I look at you and you think I see what you are, but I actually still see that little girl with the ice cream cone, like dripping down her arm, smiling, you know, cheek to cheek.
A little tummy out of her tankini.
That's just part of being a parent. I think I'm always going to be like that. But when I asked you to tell about your personal story, one of the things that you shared was that you spent a lot of time learning to love yourself.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So when you asked me to talk about my personal story, I really sat down with that question because I don't think I've ever been asked that before. Everybody asks you in passing, okay, who you are, where are you from, tell me about yourself. But I think this question is kind of why I love that you're making this podcast, because there's so much more to people and to our stories and who we are than just the facts. So when I sat down with this question, I think my personal story, in the sense of something that started off one way and has had this big progression to where I am now and is still not done, is this relationship with myself and learning how to love myself through all these different stages of life. And I'm only 21, that's just beginning, but growing into myself so much through that transition into high school and coming in and out of friendships and really figuring out who I was with all this influence around me. And especially with social media now, you have these people telling you all the time in so many different ways who you're supposed to be and what track you're supposed to be on and X, Y, and Z of what success looks like and what beauty looks like. And I think for me, having this ongoing conversation with myself of I am enough and I am doing good and I'm exactly where I need to be has been a big part of me maturing and growing up. I feel like that first time that I felt, you know what, like you're doing a really good job and I had confidence in myself was the first time that I was like, okay, wait, I am getting more mature. I am growing up. Like this is making more sense.
Yeah. And talk about bravery, courage. Everyone that I meet, I take the opportunity to tell them about the summer that you just spent in New York City. And one of the things that I tell them every single time is, can you imagine at 21 years old, being a young woman, moving to Manhattan, Hell's Kitchen, 9th and 44th Street, 48th Street, in an apartment by yourself and figuring it out.
Amen.
Talk about that a little bit. I mean, how did you come to the conclusion that that's what you wanted to do? And then how did you cope with how scary that could be for a lot of people?
Yeah. So firstly, I'll get into New York. I have been infatuated with New York since I was a kid. I mean, you were there. It actually came up on Time Hop today. Mom showed me the day that we sat on our last day of vacation in Maine. And you said, hey, surprise, on the way home, we're stopping in New York. And my face was like, oh my God. And I freaked out and I was so excited. And I think back then it was just the idea that something is so grand like that. And there's so many people there from all over and so many opportunities. And I was obsessed with Broadway. I mean, I still love it, but especially then when I was doing so much acting. So New York and the beast that it is has always been something that fascinates me so much and something that I knew I wanted to do, even if it was for 3 months for an internship or moving there post-grad, you know, whatever it might look like. I've always been so dead set on making it there. So I think for me, it wasn't scary at all. It was this like, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And I don't know, living alone, people have asked me so many times since getting back and while I was there, I'm like, oh, is that so scary? Are you okay? Like, how was that for you? And for me, I was just like, oh, that's not scary at all. That was awesome. Like a lot of people are so uncomfortable spending time with themselves, living with themselves, eating with themselves, taking themselves out to just do normal things.
You know how much I like Jay Shetty, right? And we had an opportunity see Jay Shetty at the Madison Square Garden Theater when we came to visit. And that was really pretty fortuitous. We just kind of looked up and there he was. But I don't think you knew what you were doing, but you bought me a book quite a few years ago, probably around the time you were a freshman in college, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. You knew I liked Jay Shetty and you bought me a book that was more about love and relationships. And in the very first chapter of that book, he talks a lot about something that really resonates with me. And I think it's part of the magic of what you've been able to unlock. And that is that there is such a tremendous difference between loneliness and solitude.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about some of the things that you did this summer and how powerful that can be if you really truly love yourself and you have grace with yourself, patience with yourself. But, you know, just taking the time to go out to eat by yourself.
Yeah.
Or go see Sunset Boulevard all by yourself and being really, really excited to do it and not need someone else around to make it meaningful for you.
Right. Yeah, I'm actually writing my blog post about New York right now. It's not done yet, but that's something I touched on a lot, was that New York is a place that makes you feel tons of different emotions. And even in the 3 months that I spent there, which looking into the grand scheme of things is such a short amount of time, I went through all of those feelings, and one of which being a little bit lonely. I mean, but doing those things and making myself go out broke that cycle for me. And I was like, you know what? I'm not alone. This is the last place you could ever truly be lonely. There are people everywhere you go. You cannot avoid them, even when you want to. You know, you might want to go on a run in the morning and not see another human being. You will see 2,000, and it's just, you're not getting away from it. And teaching myself that exact lesson of, yeah, I might not personally be with other people that I have a personal relationship with. It doesn't mean that I'm alone. I can't be alone here. But I really think the reason that I wasn't so afraid was because of you and what you've always taught me since I was a kid. And I wrote this down. People so frequently would hear where I'm from in New York, or I would say y'all or a ma'am, and they'd catch me immediately.
Total giveaway.
Oh, total giveaway. You know, just I was sitting at a bar of a restaurant the like 2 days before I left, and this older couple looked at me and they're like, I heard you say, yes, ma'am. Where are you from? You cannot be from here. And I had this long conversation with them. And when I told them I was from Louisville, Kentucky, every single person is just baffled. They do not understand, okay, what are you doing here? How did you get here? That's crazy. And I'll tell them, and I'm like, I got here because I was taught shoot for the stars. And if and when you fall short, you still reach the moon.
Amen.
So maybe it's not... Maybe it wasn't the dream job or the most ideal, perfect apartment in the West Village, but I did it and I killed it. And I had an awesome job and I met really cool people and I learned so much about myself. And it might not have been the stars, but it was the moon and it was really awesome.
Well, I think one of the lessons that you're learning, and you could probably through the amazing vehicle you have with Pieces of P, your blog, you can share what it truly means to manifest destiny, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that looking back on the first, you know, kind of, I guess I was going to say first chapter, but let's say prologue of your life, one of the things that I think has been a resounding lesson for you has been that you shot your shot. When you wanted to go to college, you had an idea where you wanted and you found the perfect home in the University of Tennessee right there in Knoxville. And when you wanted to experience world travel, not with your family, but on your own with your friend Izzy, you made it happen.
Yeah.
Right. And you always had a dream that you wanted to live in Manhattan, be in New York City. You put the resumes out there, you made the calls, you sent the emails, and the universe spoke to you.
Yeah.
Keep doing that. It's amazing. It's really amazing what you're going to be able to accomplish if you keep manifesting your own dreams.
Thank you. I think as much as I don't know if I fully believe in manifestation in the way that some people think about manifestation, but for me, I remember the first time I told you, I want to work for Condé Nast Magazine. We were right here in this kitchen, and you said, all right, well, every person who asks you what you want to do for the rest of your life, and every person who asks me what you want to do for the rest of your life, we're going to tell them exactly that. And I was like, Dad, like, that doesn't mean – it's not going to do anything. And I just started doing that. I told people, all right, I want to move to Manhattan. I want to work for Condé Nast, or I want to travel. And the more I spoke it into existence, it did just that. I got what I asked for, and I think it wasn't even divine or anything like that, because I don't know if I fully believe in all that kind of stuff, maybe, if I learn more about it, but it was more that I kept it at the forefront of my mind, and I talked to people who knew of other people who could get me to this email, who got me to that interview, or so-and-so who already lives in New York that can help show me around, you know, whatever it was just consistently voicing the things that I want out loud until even I believe that they would come true.
Yeah. And maybe
until you make it.
I'm not sure I believe in the divine either, that everything's predetermined, but I do think that you create a lot of your own destiny. And to me, that's kind of what manifesting means.
Yeah.
It means not just waiting back and sitting back and letting fate take care of things. But if you really know what you want, you really feel it in your heart and you're true to yourself, you really understand yourself and you've taken time to listen and really contemplate what it is it that you want out of life. In small, meaningful ways, you keep working towards that. And to me, that's manifestation.
I like that definition of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's good.
You know, thinking back on your summer in New York, you know, you're only here home for a few days before you head back to Knoxville and finish up there. But, you know, it really was a powerful summer in many ways. And one of the things I think was fun is that, you know, you talk about us hillbillies from Kentucky. And I think everybody that asks you about New York, they wanted to know about how nasty and rude all the people were. And I think one of the things tell the listeners what you feel about that.
Yeah. So going into the summer, all I heard was like, oh my God, Manhattan, like it is chaos. And there's people everywhere and it's so dirty and it's dangerous. Like, do you have pepper spray on you at all times? Are you scared to be alone? And it honestly kind of freaked me out. I was like, all right, well, damn, I am going to New York by myself and I am a young girl. Like, should I be scared? And the minute I got there, sure, if you were in a subway station in Harlem at 2 a.m., don't be there. Or if you go to Times Square, that is what you're going to get, chaos and people everywhere. But that is just a fraction of what Manhattan is and New York is, at least to me. And I met the coolest people. And I overheard somebody on one of my last days say this, and I'm going to mess up the quote verbatim, but essentially they said, people from the West Coast are nice to your face and really mean when you turn around. And people from the East Coast might be mean to your face and tell you to get out of the road or walk faster down the sidewalk, but they are the kindest people. They care so much about the fact that I was there. Every single person I asked, once they got over the fact that I was from the South, they said, how is New York treating you? Are you having a good time? What have you been up to? What is your job like? Are you enjoying yourself? Have you tried this restaurant? Have you gone and done this? What else is on your to-do list before you leave? And it made me feel so seen and welcomed, where I thought, oh my gosh, everybody's going to be like, oh, that Southern girl is here and she's ruining what New York really is and be so put out with me. But they were so fascinated by me and just so happy that I was there. And every single person I talked to, whether it was a bartender or somebody I met from, you know, going out with friends or people I worked with, was a perfect example. They're from all over. And I just felt so welcomed and seen and appreciated. And it made a place like New York, and as scary and large as it is, feel small and feel homey.
Well, and I think part of that is that you have to take a little bit of credit for that, because you went into those situations with an open heart and an open mind and a genuine curiosity for getting to know those people. And yeah, you were willing to tell them your story and be really, you know, fun and passionate about it. When we last visited, it was fun to experience that after you'd been there for a couple of months and you really settled in and felt like, you know, by that time already a true New Yorker. And, you know, one of the things
that I can't take credit for that. Yeah.
I think one of the things you said to me, though, that really struck a chord with me was, you know, you get what you give. Mm-hmm. And in New York, I think, in the Big Apple, there's no better place to learn that lesson.
Oh, yeah.
When you were kind to people, they were kind back to you. You know, when you told them to F off and get out of the middle of the road, they were going to give it right back to mm-hmm. you. So whatever you were given out, they were given back.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really big thing about living in New York, and a lesson I learned very fast, that I can also be mean back to people, and it's kind of refreshing. Like sure. If I'm on a little bike and I'm going down the street and somebody flicks me off in a car, I can scream at them back.
And it's kind of nice. They pee on you while you're riding by.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just story for a different
but
time.
You know, it's story for another time. But
I'm sure you got lots of stories.
It's a good lesson. Oh God. I could do a whole conversation about that.
Well, that was a big event in your life, spending the summer in New York, but you've had a lot of events in your life. Like look back, when you think about moments or, you know, insights that you see as being kind of pivotal to the person that you've become today, what do you think about?
Well, when you first showed me this question and I thought about it, it's my mind did that thing where it almost went blank. And I was like, wait, like what events in my life were even pivotal? Oh my gosh, like why can't I think of anything? And the more I took a step back and thought about that, I really think the first time that we went on vacation Europe together was a big changing point in my life, in the sense of...
How old were you then? 12?
No, I was 15.
15.
Were you 14? I was going into my freshman year of high school.
Summer before freshman year. Okay. Yeah, you were probably 14 going on
15. 12. Come on, man. Come on.
All right, man. I told you, you still look 6 to me, so whatever.
But... I mean, Paris had always been my dream, and you knew that, and we joked about it for years about even going in the first place, and I didn't let you give that up, which is on me, but come on.
No, talk about manifesting dreams. I mean, that was one of the things you actually wrote some questions for me.
I did. And I didn't want you to see those until you...
I don't know, but I'm glad that you showed me so I could think through them a little bit and not be caught off guard. But I do remember sitting around a fire pit in Anchorage, Kentucky, and having probably a little bit too much bourbon, and you crawled up in my lap as a little girl, and I was like, man, when you're right before you go to high school, I'm taking you to Paris.
Well, you asked me first. You said, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you want to go? And I said, Dad, I want to go to Paris. And you go, all right, when you graduate eighth grade, I'm taking you there. And it's like you branded that on my forehead, and I never let you forget. Stubborn little girl I was.
Yeah, and I don't know. And we got to share, too, the last time that you spent the summer abroad. I think that was a totally different experience than the experiences that you shared with the family. And we've been to some really cool places. But I got to open up my journal that I had when I was your age and was over in Europe. And I remember vividly, you know, two things that were both really meaningful to me that happened at the top of the Arc de Triomphe was your age being there and having wished it and worked really hard to get there and signed up and bought the ticket and was alone. And first thing I did is I beelined for the top of the Arc de Triomphe, and I got up there and I said, wow. It's a little bit bittersweet. It's something that you think about for a long time and you're like, well, what is the next goal that I have? That was a big goal for me. But then it came right around full circle, right?
Yeah.
And we made that promise. And I remember very vividly, I know I can picture it in my head, your mom and brother and I up at the Arc de Triomphe. And I looked at you and said, promise is a promise. Yeah. And I'll never forget that.
And I mean, I think that's the first thing me and Izzy did when we went abroad for that summer as well, which was so awesome. And I remember being up there with her and it was rainy and it was cold and we almost didn't go. And I was like, we're going to the top of the Arc de Triomphe. And I think I felt very different in that moment than when I went with you, because the reason that trip when I was 15 was so pivotal for me, in my opinion, was that if you think about it, for you, that's how it was the first time you went abroad alone. But as 15, going out of the U.S. and into Paris, it was like my world exploded. My mind just couldn't comprehend that there are so many different people and places. And oh my gosh, like we sobbed the Eiffel Tower. We absolutely sobbed. And then we went up and we were afraid of heights, and that was its whole own thing. But that trip alone, I mean, going to Switzerland and Italy, like it's like I had never seen through my eyes before. I like think about it. I think back on it now. And it's like when somebody's colorblind puts on the glasses, that's almost what it felt like. And I was like, oh my God, there's so much more to the world and to life than my small little bubble that's Louisville, Kentucky. Not that I don't love it here and it's amazing for so many different reasons, but I think that had a really big role in why I love to travel so much and why I love to write so much, because I just saw there's so much more than the path that you get fed in a small southern town of like school, and then you get married and you have a family and it's so cute and perfect. There's, as much as that's amazing and I do want that, there's a lot else to experience.
Well, yeah, and we've had some wonderful times. It's been a big part of our life for the last 6 or 7 years has been feeding that passion that you have, but I also have, and your mom has really enjoyed too. And so, man, looking back, we have done some really cool stuff. I mean, riding camels in Morocco.
crazy.
Yeah, almost getting sex trafficked in Morocco as a young child. Yeah, that was definitely a great parenting moment for me.
I've never seen you run before that moment, and it was scary.
It was a little frightening.
It was, but yeah. It was a moment.
I didn't realize, though, that when he offered two Campbells, that was like 250K.
Each, I think.
I would have been a little more tempted. I don't know. No, but man, gosh, you've been to Paris 3 times.
Yeah.
Amsterdam.
Yeah,
I did. Germany.
Yep.
You've been to, let's see, Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Spain. You spent the whole summer in Spain, in Seville.
I cry.
Barcelona more than once, and been
Mallorca
to
the Lago. We went to Greece.
La Sagrada Familia.
I mean, beautiful Espanol.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
De nada, señor.
Gracias.
Yeah, I mean,
Thailand.
God, Thailand.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so blessed to even be able to say that long list of places in the world I've been to and experienced and met people from, that's insane. And I owe that all to you too. So,
well, think about it. It's just the beginning, right? You have your whole life to kind of explore the globe and check out new places. And I've always loved travel. It's just been adventurous to me. It just feels like it opens your eyes to a whole different perspective. I feel like sometimes when I get out of the United States, I just feel like I'm on another planet.
You or maybe I like to pretend
I am.
Vacation Jeff. Oh, yeah. He's awesome. I really wish everybody on here listening could experience Vacation Jeff to his full potential.
Well, maybe you could just go to www.thestoryofusproject.com, hit start a conversation, and maybe you can join me on my next travel adventure.
Wow. That's a new part of the package deal of the podcast.
No, I'm just kind of trying to bring the listeners in. It's a little bait and switch. Man, there's been so many great memories of traveling, and I can't wait for our next trip. I think, you know, you learn so much when you experience other things.
Right.
And so it's very invigorating for me. And part of the joy has been, I think, for your mom and I is going along on those journeys with you and getting to experience those things. Some of the things we had seen before is at your age, to see them, watch you, you know, see them for the first time and kind of mm-hmm. see it through your eyes, just brings back that feeling.
Yeah.
And I think the last trip that you went on, again, we pulled out the travel journal that I had when I was 21 years old mm-hmm. and we read through it, and there were some really cool passages in there. But, you know, I closed the book and I said, Peyton, this is the feeling I've been trying and chasing for my entire life, is the feeling of being young, free to travel the world and experience new things, not tied down by obligations and things of that nature. And, you know, just keep that feeling alive. Yeah. There's no reason you have to tuck it away like I did for a long time. I think you can figure out a way to create balance in your life to keep that going.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even think I told you this necessarily, but when you read your journal out to me, obviously writing's always been something that I really enjoyed, and something that, whether it's on the blog that I started in 2023, I don't know, a few years ago, or something that I kept just for me, hearing you write and something that you said when you were my age resonated a lot with me, because I saw so many similarities between us. And obviously, like, we're very alike.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just goes without saying, but
all the great things about you, you inherited from me.
Right. Obviously, as he stares right at mom, right into her soul. But when I was reflecting on, you know, fond memories that you asked me about, I said that what really helps me capture all those is writing, whether it's something that I kept for myself or something that I've shared with other people. When I look back on my writing, it is like I'm right there. And did you feel that way when you opened that travel journal again?
Yeah, I don't know what compelled me to start writing in the journal to begin with, but mm-hmm. I think it was very similar to that. It was this overwhelming feeling of what you wanted to capture.
Yeah.
And you wanted to, maybe not thinking about it at the time, you're probably more cognizant of it because you're much more mature at your age than I was, mm-hmm. but it's maybe hidden back behind all that was a deep understanding that one day I'm going to want to remember this.
Yeah.
And it'll come at the right moment that I need it the most. And yeah, that was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
It was really fun to share that journal with you. But when you think about writing, allows you to keep those memories, share some of them with us.
Yeah. So for me, I think when I started writing in the sense of when I was traveling, because I have been writing since I was a little kid. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I vividly remember, for whatever reason it was, we were at our Anchorage house and I had one of mom's Apex physical therapy doodle pads. And I had written some very deep, wise, prophetic poem about fall, the season. And I made you all sit out on the rocking chairs in Anchorage and I had to perform my poem to you. And it's so stupid. But I think even then, like, I loved that kind of stuff. Just writing was always my creative outlet. So for me, it just made all those memories. It's my version of when you put sand in a vial from your favorite place and bottle it up and keep it away, like my writings are my little vials of sand. Like it just takes me right back to when I was writing them, to what I was doing. And when I thought about talking about this, it like sparked all these things I had written about, like running home to the Airbnb with Izzy that first night we were in Paris when our phones were dying and we had to create a song to remember the Airbnb codes. And you looked on Life 360 and thought I was being chased through the streets of Paris. And I just can vividly remember that because I went home and I wrote it down. Or riding on those gondola boats in Bangkok by all the people. And it felt like we were invading their backyard on this water and they did not care. They were so happy to see us. These big smiles waving, hi, welcome. And I remember when we were at the Anchorage 100-year party and you and I were dancing under the big tent at that house. And it was so hot and there was fireflies everywhere. We were dancing, you split your pants.
And I did.
And you took a tablecloth off and you wrapped it around and you kept dancing and it was awesome. And like,
I love that that's one of the things that's like burned into your brain is my split pants and wearing a tablecloth with probably too much to drink to begin with around like a dress. But no, we don't pick the things that get burned into our brain, do they? And they always have, there's always something there.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because you sent me this video the other day. And that's when I text you and I was like, are you reading my like podcast prep right now? Because I just wrote that down. And it's those vivid memory. We were on the Sunset Cruise in Santorini and you found this young couple and they challenged you to do a shotgun off and you shotgun the beer with them. And I remember feeling in that moment this really strong sadness almost for the first time. It clicked me and I was like, I'm moving away. Like I'm going to college and like I don't get this kind of joy and like small moments that you bring all the time anymore. And I remember that hit me really hard, like in that moment and you were shotgunning a beer. Like why was I sad and thinking about that? I have no idea, but I can't explain it.
Well, I didn't want to surprise you with these questions. So you got a chance to look at some of the questions.
And yeah.
We're not taking them all in a script here, but you know, when I ask you about the fond memories, I said, you know, Peyton, you know, close your eyes. And what are those things that really you go to in your memory often? One thing that I think speaks volumes about who you are as a person is that virtually every single one of the things you had included other people.
Yeah.
Right? It was the people on the boat in Santorini, or it was the little kids from their shanties that seemed so happy waving to you from the riverbank in Bangkok. Or, you know, the other thing is that you were so in tune to not just the memories because they're a funny story, but some of the things you shared were like what the wood sounded like on the kitchen floors in our home in Anchorage when you roller skated over them, right? Mm-hmm. You used to love to roller skate in the kitchen and just having the maturity to sit back and remember, and you can put yourself there anytime you need to be able to say, man, I can put myself there in that house with my roller skates rolling over the wood. Or you said the breeze that was blowing through here when we went to the top of the Eiffel Tower for the first time. And we were laughing, but deep down we were kind of crying and nervous because we're both really scared of heights. I know you can go on and on and on, but it always included other people. It always included, you know, multi-sensory experience, how the wind felt, what it smelled like at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something really powerful that whenever you do get anxious or nervous in the future, you can always close your eyes, take deep breaths and bring you back to those kind of happy places,
those
places that you like and keep making those. Mm-hmm. Look out for those, right? Because I think a lot of times those happy moments or those perfect days that we tend to manifest sometimes, but never, they kind of come and go. And we never realize, wait, hold on a second. That was my perfect day.
Yeah.
Right? And we've talked a lot about that.
I think I didn't even realize I really did that to the extreme I did until you just pointed out. And it made me think like, all right, I'm driving back to Knoxville tomorrow and kind of some Knoxville things just came back in my head, like, oh, I'm really excited to sleep in that bed. My bed at school is so comfy. And I'm really excited to hear Sully's little pitter-patter when I walk down the stairs in the morning. And he always has candy corn out when I'm there. Or just, like, I can drive down Kingston Pike with my eyes closed. Like, it does not matter. I can have anything on, and I know exactly where I'm going. And it's small things like that I don't know, just make a place feel so much closer to you.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I hope to achieve with the Story of Us project and the Story of Us from Cosmic Dawn to the Depths of Being, the podcast that you're on today, is that, you know, I want to preserve these stories of humanity for eternity. Yeah. We're going to put this right up on the internet. And I can't wait for you to listen to this podcast 15, 20, 25 years from now. And one of the questions that I have kind of liked to ask some of my guests, it's a little bit hard for you because, you know, you're only 21. Mm-hmm. You're just getting ready to really live life. But, you know, if you looked back on a younger version of yourself, I think we constantly change. Your Aunt Kathy said she feels like a different person about once every 10 years. And I feel very much the same way. I feel like in many ways, I don't think it's been every 10 years. I think that sometimes it comes on gradually and I don't recognize the person I was before. And sometimes it hits me like, you know, just like a firecracker.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I wake up one day and I just feel like a total version of myself. And I think that's part of maturing if you're really paying attention.
Yeah.
But looking back, if you wanted to go back to a younger version of yourself, what would you tell them?
Saying that Aunt Kathy feels these feelings of reinventing herself almost every 10 years. I think the really cool thing that I can recognize right now about being 21 is the fact that we undergo the most rapid change so fast in such a small amount of time right now. Like, obviously you're going through a lot of change when you're going from 30 to 40, and yes, but I mean, going from high school to college, or even just, you know, going from being in middle school to being a teenager, like I feel like I can go back to those moments and remember how life altering that each one of them felt. So for me, I remember, I think the time I probably was struggling with who I was the most was when I was like 17 to 18, going into my senior year of high school and just feeling this overwhelming pressure of choices I had to make, or feeling like I was being tugged between 14 different versions of who I wanted to be and who I wanted to become and the friend I wanted to be, and just not understanding who I was and what to do in my life at that current moment. And I wish that I knew this quote then that helped me a lot growing out of this period. And it says, people come in and out of your life for either a reason, a season, or a lesson. And I wish I trusted myself enough to know the difference between the three of those.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Just recognizing people and relationships sometimes at face value, I don't think is all bad. And now looking back, I think I probably knew a lot more than I did. And I just never trusted myself to be like, you know what, it's okay. Like, maybe this person or this experience came into my life for one reason and they're not going to stay forever. But this season of my life, I needed it really bad. No matter if it was good, if it was bad, if it was ugly and uncomfortable, there's a reason, a season, or a lesson to go with everything. And that's something that I wish I could have just whispered in my ear at 18 and been like, listen to yourself. It's going to be fine. You know more than you think you do.
You're going to listen back on that and really appreciate those words.
I hope so. I think I will.
Okay, so let's flip it now. 25 years from now, I will be almost 75. You're going to be closing in on my age. Mm-hmm. And what does the 21-year-old version of Peyton want to tell the 46-year-old version of Peyton?
I can imagine that I struggle with some of the same things I struggle with now. So in that light, I want to tell myself to say yes. Peyton, when you're 46, say yes. Life's way too short to say no to opportunities that bring you joy, adventures that excite you, or even like plans or small things that fill your cup. The money will come back. Your weight and your outwardly appearance is the least important part about you. And if something's important to you, you'll always make time for it. So, you know, I will hopefully be a mom and, you know, living this probably very chaotic life. And just, I want to tell myself that you can choose yourself. You can say yes. You can also say no, but say yes to the things that matter to you and bring you joy. Because I don't know, I watched mom do this and like, I wish she said yes to herself more and things that made her happy. Cause she just sacrificed so much for me and Brady. And I feel like she missed out on some things, probably looking back, that she was like, damn, I should have done that. I should have gone to that concert or something. But like, I'm mom.
You have one of the greatest moms on the planet.
1,000%.
And you'll be a great mom too. I guarantee it. And you'll need to remind yourself that. Like, yeah, it's okay to say yes to yourself. You're a better mom, a better version of yourself when you listen to yourself and you take time to do that. And so I'll speak for your 46-year-old self and say, you know, she's going to be really grateful that you reminded her of that.
For sure.
Life is complicated.
Yeah.
There is, especially for your age, it feels like you're just like swirling in this shitstorm of chaos all the time. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the amount of information that's coming at you and everything. Yeah. But when life gets really chaotic and you've got a million things going on all the time, you're trying to tackle the world and do a million different things all at once, how do you find moments of peace?
So I wrote a blog post about this called Crying in Public because it hit me when I was walking through Central Park this summer and I had this big moment of what am I doing and where am I and I'm all alone and there's millions of people here and I'm just one of them and I have no sense of direction and feeling very overwhelmed with that. And I looked up for my walk and I was at Sheep Meadow, which if you're ever in Central Park, please go to Sheep Meadow. It's the most beautiful place on the planet. And it's this view of New York from Central Park. And people are just out throwing the Frisbee or having a picnic with a loved one, playing cards, hanging out with their children, listening to music. And it just hit me. Life is not so serious. And I just sat down and I started crying because it hit me that within all the chaos, like sometimes all you need to do is sit down and look around you and realize that there's so much more going on in other people's lives. And that is not just running rampant through your anxiety in your head. But other than just trying to ground myself and look around and be present and practice presence as much as I can, things that almost are my distraction, I love reading. So I feel like books are what?
Well, so what you're reading now?
Oh, well, right now, and I feel like this is a canon event in my age bracket, is there's all these fantasy books out right now. And I will say I was a nerd books. I was a big hater for a long time on them. And I'm like, oh, why are you reading that? And I actually hated on, I'm reading the Fourth Wing series right now. And I hated on that specific series for a really long time. And finally, I was just like, you know what? I've heard so many good things about this that I'm going to put my prejudices and my thoughts aside. I'm just going to try it. And these books, as weird of a concept as they may seem to some people, completely make me feel like I'm on a different dimension and transport me into this whole other world. And it's one of the few, at least genres of books that have made me completely just disassociate and fall into what I'm reading. And as much as I love a good, you know, historical fiction read, like The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah is still my favorite book of all time. But sometimes it's nice just to have something that makes you turn your mind off and just go someplace that's not where you currently are.
Love it. Love it. Switch gears here a little bit.
Please.
So you amaze me. You're so mature. If I tell you every single day how proud I am, and you'll never really realize the pride that your mom and I have for you and for your brother in many different unique ways. But do you have a mantra of life that you kind of carry with you, or little mottos that you enjoy reminding yourself of?
Yes. I think one of the good things about social media now if you curate your feed the right way, you get fed a lot of good information. And I get these really powerful quotes that come in different seasons of my life on whatever platform it might be. And it seems kind of silly to jot them down or that I found them from social media. But at the end of the day, the way you find information doesn't really matter once you found it. So I have had this list in my notes app of my phone for like 3 years of things that I find and that I love. And although one of them is Go Be Great, and it's my favorite of all of them.
Oh, that's mine.
So much so that I have it tattooed on my arm for the rest of time. Yeah. It's the best quote ever. And I could dive into what that means and could talk about that for like a full hour on itself. But some other ones would be the best things and people come into your life when you least expect them. If it's meant to be, it'll be. Appreciate every moment, especially the little ones. And one of my favorites is happiness isn't the absence of problems. It's the ability to deal with them.
Ooh, I like that one too.
I know.
It'll be interesting to see how those change over your life, but hopefully you'll go back to them some. Those are some pretty good ones. Yeah, Be Great. I remember telling you that when we dropped you off for college. Talk about pivotal moments in any parent's life, like dropping the child off at college. It's so refreshing to have you here at the kitchen with me today because, you know, we only get to spend a little bit of time with you, but not that our life is, you know, we walk around with a black cloud on us all the time when you're not here. We certainly find joy in all kinds of different things, but having you here just brings more sunshine and just feels complete. It feels whole for a little bit. You know, as a parent, when your child's not there, no matter what age they are, no matter how old you are, they're not there in the house with you, not sharing those small moments, getting up and having a cup of coffee together. There's just a little tiny part of you. Some days it feels like a bigger part that's just missing. And it's been really good to have you back. Mm-hmm. So there's a section in the story of us that talks about connection and interconnectedness. Mm-hmm. And it's about finding the us in the story of us. Right. And so one of the questions I had for you is that, you know, looking back, can you recall a time when you shared your story or you heard someone else's unique story and it kind of rocked your world or it shifted your worldview or it healed something in you?
Yeah. I mean, I think I love hearing other people's stories. It's part of why I love what you're doing so much because there's so much more to people than what even they share with you or what's on the outside. And until you really dig deep and know a person and spend a lot of time with them, you don't know that. And one thing that I never really thought I would share on Pieces of P that I'm really glad I did was about my journey through self-confidence and struggles with body image. And not only did sharing those words, really vulnerable things about myself, release a small little part of that weight that I felt on me that I didn't really even know was on my heart until I let it go. But that is for sure the post that I shared that had the most people reach out to me personally, whether text or, you know, on social media and stuff, saying how much this healed a part of them or how they go through these similar struggles and thoughts. And hearing them almost healed an extra part of me. Like, not only did I let this go, this part of me that hurt for so long, but other people are right there with me. And not only did I help them, but they just helped me too. Like, we're in this together, and it really allowed me to remind myself that I'm not alone. And anything that I'm going through, somebody else is having those exact same thoughts. And it made me want to keep sharing the vulnerable, really uncomfortable things about myself because everybody goes through them in different degrees.
It's beautiful. I had a similar experience. You, again, I don't think you know what a positive influence you've been on the life of myself and your mom. But you know, seeing you be vulnerable and seeing the love that came back to you, I felt like it was time for me to write a post about some of the struggles that our family has had with mental health. And I felt the very same thing. It was just so refreshing, and we got so much peace from the hundreds of people that responded back to us, thanking us for being real.
Yeah.
And sharing our story. And I hope that's part of what continues with the story of us. It's about sharing these stories because we all struggle. I think one thing that studying on Buddhism over the last couple of years has taught me is that, you know, the one thing that all human beings have in common is that we all suffer.
Mm-hmm.
We all suffer, and we all suffer in different ways. And it's not our task to decide what's a meaningful struggle or suffer and what's not. Just recognizing and listening and hearing stories, I think it's something that's been lost, and I'm hoping that we can together, you and I, through Pieces of Pea and the Project of Us.
Many collabs to come.
That's right. That's right. You're a people person. And I think you wear that on your sleeve a little bit, but have there been experiences that made you feel undeniably connected to other people?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. There's definitely some moments, but I think more than that, people are just, if that is your personality, that's your personality. And having the ability to just really sit down and communicate with somebody is not something that people find easy. But I like this. I want you to try it sometime. It's a practice that I really like to do.
Okay.
And my favorite time to do it was in New York on the subway. But I like to look at people as stories and not a human or a thing to judge, and not look at what they're wearing or who they're talking to or if they're on their phone or reading a book or have their headphones in. But I like to just sit there and create a story for who I think they are. And it helps me really remember the fact that we're all human. And yeah, I'm on the subway right now going to work, but like, what are they doing? And at first glance, oh, they're just another person or somebody who just bumped into me on the subway. Like, why would they hit me? But then sometimes I'll sit back and I'm like, maybe they're a mom who just dropped their kids off to school and she's running late to the office and she had a horrible morning. And yeah, she bumped into me, but that's probably the smallest thing that went wrong in her entire morning. And I'm just over here thinking about the fact that she bumped into me. Like, no. And I can have fun with it, but it can also be something that's kind of slaps me in the face and reminds me like your problems are very small compared to other people's, but it can also be really fun and be like, oh, they're on their way to record the newest hit single for Spotify.
Yeah, or they're the next guest on The Story of Us,
right?
From Cosmic Dawn.
Exactly.
The Depths of
Game. Exactly. It's so funny.
And I can't say that title without your mom trying to interrupt me every single time. She just hates
Are
me.
You done? You should be. Such a good quote.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.